Responding to clients. So we'll have, let's assume 12 respondents.
Six.
If we were going to break them up now, Peter, how would we do that? Odds, evens, or 1, 2, 6, or how do you?
I was singing to myself and recording it there. Taking an analog signal and turning it into a mono and making
it
number.
Sizing and reversing. It's just a little x, y axis and then it just averages everybody's
feet. It lets you, like, it has that nice analog. It forces your analog, your like non-analog thoughts, from your analog thoughts into a down this number. Never be able to be like, yeah, that's a 63, that's a 64. Turn the dial. Hey, don't they get leather seats over there?
I think they're doing better.
Yeah, a little tent, yeah. A little tent, too. I think it's just kind of long.
Yeah.
Not even think about it.
So you're passing around these materials. Do you all see this thing?
Mm-hmm.
Some of it's being the perception analyzer is the thing that Frank Luntz was using in that section of the video about accountability and responsibility. There's two words he always comes up with. Have you noticed in Bush's belated responses to Katrina how much he talked about accountability and responsibility? I don't know if they did a whole other thing, because they're not going to seem to work again, but he was using them. So this is the thing, and Market works with the company that actually created this. Even though Lenz told us on camera, and we didn't use it to turn it out to be true, that he invented the device, he did not. And he hires this company that did.
He told you on camera that he invented it?
Lenz, the political pollster. You know, he said he invented this stuff?
Pardon me?
Lenz told us he invented this?
Oh,
he did. Yeah, I mean, we did, of course. But then we actually had to fact check. And then it gets to the point, do you include... The other thing we found out, after we cut the first edit, was...
Your client, because you don't get a bot.
Remember there's that whole thing about Absolute Vodka getting product placement in Sex and the City? And we had on tape the woman giving a speech saying, and we the marketers of Absolute, we went to Sex and the City and told them that we wanted to get a placement, blah, blah, blah. Well, we talked to Sex and the City and we talked to other executives at Absolute, and it turns out, no, Sex and the City had the story first, and they were looking for a brand that they could actually integrate into. No money exchange hands. And they were just looking for a brand that they could bring in and not get in trouble, but actually have some fun and then do a little sort of viral media in the real world. And it worked out being a product placement, or it was effectively a product placement, but the woman making the speech was lying. So then it was like, well, what do we do? So rather than saying, oh, this woman's lying, we let the woman say what she said, and then we, in the narration, said what actually happened. And just sort of let, if there was a dissonance in it, we let the audience figure that out or not. But it would have served us and our point in making a persuasive documentary about persuasion to let her quote stand as fact and just say, Absolute went to the producers of Sex and the City and got this about the internet. So it wasn't true. But with Luntz, we just found out that the facts weren't. Some of the facts weren't true, what he was saying. So we just cut them out rather than undercutting his credibility by just saying, looking in the because she was in front of a group of marketers, and she wanted to look like she was really cool. And she had pushed the envelope of marketing. You guys can make little baby tuber roses and treat this as a private customer. You are the client. So you'll watch here. So you'll come closer here. We got it. I got it there.
This doesn't surprise me that they write. You know, like, you imagine being a writer, being a writer. Okay, you got to write this into your tour.
They like making the writers feel like sellouts.
You want to use a real brand and make your story seem real. You want to have a real thing. So then you've got to find a company who can actually say things to that without getting sued. You know, because if you say, oh, Absolutely did this, and they put a new guy in a thing, I mean, some companies would be like, well, that doesn't really go with our brand, and we wouldn't have done that. You know, so you have to, and if you use fake, if you just call it Joe's Vodka or Cool Person's Vodka, then it doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't feel real. It's like when you see, you know, a Heinz ketchup on the table in a diner in a movie, and like the Heinz has been crossed out, and it's like, you know, Heinz or something.
Maybe he wants Purell before they touch these strange objects. I don't know where it's been, do you?
Is it for this?
It's hand sanitizer.
Are you passing it around like this?
Well, it's like, you don't know what's been on this thing.
I'll do it later then.
Oh yeah, that's true, we do it afterwards, yeah. Alright.
Since we have a moment here now, let us use our superior concentration skills to actually bring the conversation while you're doing that, okay? That would include Nolan. It would include Nolan. Nolan, it would include you. Tell me to be included. We're going to try to use our graduate level skills and concentration to actually have the conversation, even though there's technology going on around us. This is what it's like if you ever try to make a movie. This is basically what it is. You're working with actors, and there's all these people with various unions and cables going, and you still try, that's why I don't do a movie, and you still try to work the scene. You ever done movies? That actually is what it's like. This huge political weight. We're going to talk about Adorno after we're back, right? Because that even requires more concentration than necessary. But, than necessary in a normal situation. But we can talk about the persuaders. And the reason it's there, it's sort of the last download of kind of my worldview and what I've seen and explored to you guys before we then move on to many other people's views of all this stuff. Who's our persuaders competition leader in theory?
Sean? What?
You're supposed to sort of lead us in that? No. He would just lead. I mean, the thing I want to do, and it's like, as you'll see in the first couple of weeks of the class, the do assignments have been to find an example in the real world, something you've experienced, to bring, like a hand-to-hand coercion that you were part of on one side or the other, or a group where you experienced a big coercive thing. And that's really good just for, the only purpose of that really is to help you guys see that and experience that this stuff isn't just abstract, but it's actually in our lives. Hey, help me, because it's harder. Help me, don't hurt me. But as we move on, what I want to do is become a little bit more, our conversations more based in the readings than our own personal experiences of the stuff. In other words, let's get a little bit more kind of disciplined about. Do you want to tell them to make a switch on these things, or you
can have them
with your special instrument? But and if we get right to it, then we want to actually do that now. But I want to start have our conversation be more based on the thing we actually saw, and that can either be on the contents of the things that we're reading and finding out about the actual information, or the underlying assumptions, in other words, the context of those things. Obviously, the persuaders of this documentary comes from a particular point of view, and despite my efforts to back up from that point of view, I still think, although marketers never agree, I still think it comes down very strongly biased against the use of these technologies and what it does to us, and isolating us and fragmenting us and all that, but still, pretty much every single company and person that was profiled in there, even the French guy, Clotaire Rapaille, got a ton of work off this documentary, uses the segments of Alabama in his marketing of himself, and thinks of himself as having been portrayed accurately and positively.
That's because in there.
Well, that it worked on the clients, at least.
But
when you see this guy, he was coming from Firmenich, the perfume company, going, oh, we really respect him, and all these things, and he's a doctor, and a psychologist, and he has the research, and to me it was so obvious that these people come up to this house and sip this Kool-Aid and go nuts, and go nuts about it. And that's what I was even asking the guy from Boeing. So you're saying, you know, if you make the luggage bins, you know, then they say mommy somehow, and that's different from, you know, we don't have the code, you know, we don't have the code.
We can't reveal that.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I first time.
Can't reveal
that. I guess if people are desperate in some way, or like the whole thing, like,
there's no way of being sure. So if someone gives you something mystical and we know and you don't, it's because there's no definite science to it. It's not like you can do this, and this will happen. Because if that was the case, then everybody could do it, and it wouldn't make a profit anymore.
Right.
This is interesting. Even for talking about bad agencies, I'm just wondering, is there a way that they measure if something they create a campaign. Does it sell more than an older campaign or another campaign?
There's a long argument going on about whether or not it is measurable. I mean, you can have increases in sales, but you don't necessarily know what was causative and what wasn't. I mean, parties over the summer did a campaign with Paris Hilton eating a cheeseburger. Parties and what's their sister? Wendy's Hardee's. It's the same company. Or Carl's Jr., is it? Carl's and Hardee's. Where she's like half naked, washing the car, and eating a burger. And all these teenage guys love that commercial. It turns out that their sales, every other month of that same year, their sales were higher in relation to the year before, except the months when that ad was playing. So actually, during the summer months when that ad was happening, their sales weren't going up. Their sales were stagnant. Yeah.
And also, the Taco Bell problems, there was up ads.
Right, but was up the Bud people, Keith Reinhardt, who was in the documentary, he's the head of DDB Needham, talks about was up and creating a cultural dialogue and breaking the black white barrier and all this stuff that he claims that he did for Bud.
It seems like, I mean, at least with the award shows of the advertising industry, that it's completely like a self-serving kind of masturbatory.
Right.
Whereas, the relationship between the creative ads and the ads that catch on and the actual sales is
dubious.
Yeah. At best.
Yeah.
At best.
No, it is. And a lot of people, Song was realizing that, right? Song Airlines had hired Kate Spade's husband, David Spade?
Yeah.
Jack's the fake name.
And your brother, I think.
David Spade is that one's, that other Spade's brother. But what was the Spade's name? It's not Jack Spade. Andy Spade. Right, so Andy Spade, he comes and says, we're going to do the next Apple, the next this, the next that, and what does he get? Something different.
Was he happy with how he was portrayed? If he was happy with how he got portrayed, yes.
Right. Right, but what he was doing was basically taking his expertise in selling Kate Spade bags as a lifestyle brand to how do we make a Kate Spade bag airline. It's not implausible, and some of the women we spoke to on the flight love those planes, that whole thing.
I mean, they're all rah-rah.
Oh, that girl, She said, I was born. I was born song. I said, was there anything you, because they did this whole
fucking
thing.
That was so good. After some questions, you were like, was there any point to which something other than song?
I was like, is it conceivable for you to act in a non-song manner?
Yeah.
No.
But did you see, that was the neurolinguistic program dissociative link. Because if I am something,
she did.
It was the full on thing.
Like a rally explosion.
Songs around but Delta is when it's bankruptcy. All right, so we're pretty close here. I'll describe as I can, but what's going to happen here is the people around the table who now all have these things, one through seven are male and 8 through 12 are female, are going to answer questions and respond to video. The people over here are going to be watching the client monitor, so I'd encourage you to come close to this, and we're going to hide it from him once he knows it's working, to see various things. So we're going to do mainly two things. One is ask a series of questions the way questions get asked, but I think the more interesting thing is we're going to look at some video and our sort of our moment-to-moment reactions really to the question, I think, how are you feeling about Frank Luntz? It's very positive, I think, is all the way to the right. Very negative is all the way to the left. And there's actually numbers on there. So extremely positive would be like 100. Extremely negative, I guess, is 0. And 50 is in the middle.
That's fun.
I'll tell you.
Do is home.
Frank Luntz is someone who's featured. There's a in the Persuaders documentary, there's a guy who's a Republican pollster who uses this technique on people. So I thought it would be a fun kind of a meta thing for us to do, is to use this technique in analyzing how we feel about the guy who uses this technique.
Hey, Doug.
Yeah. So, and he'll describe to you as someone who's actually used this technology how to do it.
Yeah. So.
And if you haven't been prepped or cleaned or whatever happens to people, you have this. You're a self-selected sample of media cynics and whatever. But
the.
And I think it's fine that you actually saw him before. He can change any. Humans can be moved. But this is another one of those things where, I mean, on the one hand, you have a Clotera Pi who does everything through Freudian touchy-feely entry of the self. So if you remember, in Century of the Self, there was a psychologist who had this baronial estate, and it was in Tuxedo Park, in the same little fake closed community where Rapai lived. So, and it was so similar that I came to believe that Clotaire Rapai had based his career on that 1930s psychologist. Remember there was this guy, and they said that everyone used to go up to his house, and he showed all the cars parked there? I wanted to include that in this, but there's just, who was that? Does anyone remember who that shrink was? They had someone who would work with him, I guess, there.
Yeah.
Is he the Betty Crocker
egg,
right?
No,
that's Bernays.
This is the other guy. But nobody believes.
Because he was applying this, he was doing focus groups.
That's Victor.
Victor?
Victor was the focus group guy.
And he had this. What did he do up in his,
This is
the
guy that went crazy.
No, it's kind of irrelevant who it is, right?
No, that was, yeah, this is in part of Wolfram 2.
But the guy didn't know what he was saying.
This was the guy, when they started to say that all these psychologists came around with these institutes, to prove that they could understand consumer behavior by using focus groups and the
core strategy of desire. Was that guy that came up with the strategy of desire?
It was using the same language about the key, the single key to opening a finding out the consumer's relationship to a product and how they would go.
Everything in here has a relationship out.
So what happens, what we're attempting to do is to have it so that you guys can watch a live tape, they can watch a live tape with these lines superimposed over it, and we can record that thing that's happening so that we can all review what it was that happened. Ideally, you don't watch this, right? You're going to watch the real thing and not see how you're all reacting.
So
I'm going to try to tilt it basically away.
Did I...
Okay, do you want to explain to them how to do this? Do I want to tilt this away from them?
I think two is the lady.
Okay, just real quick here.
One is a man.
These are called perception analyzers. I'm sure you're familiar with them. And what we're going to do is we're going to ask you a bunch of questions prior to the very first video that we see. Basically, get some demographics as far as age, gender, schooling, and so forth. So if this was a real setting, the client would probably say, okay, we need a bunch of information prior before they might have, so we can, all of the data that's collected afterwards, so we can cross-tab them by anything that they want. Any question that's asked, you can cross-tab by any question that asked. So if he asked, if I wanted to see how the male and female rate this commercial, then we just say gender. If I wanted to see how male who is one child who's black and live out in North New York, as long as that question's asked, we can go ahead and subset it. Or we can get cross tabs by any question. But like I said, what we're going to do is we're going to ask a few questions first, and Dallas will go. For example, let's just go ahead and ask the first one. gender. The Dallas will only read 1 and 2. So every time there's a question, the Dallas will only read the equivalent to the answer, except for when we show the video. Then it will go from 1 to 100. But I'll explain that once we go through the video. And like I was saying, this is what the client would see in the back, basically the answer, and the response will see the question. So, on a scale, or please indicate your gender. 1 if you're male, 2 if you're female.
Yep. Yeah, I think we figured that out.
Okay. Please indicate your age group. 1, 18, 24, 2, 25, 39, and 3, 40 to 54. So much. Now, this one here, please indicate your ethnic heritage. 1 if you're white, 2 if you're black, 3 if you're Hispanic, Latino, Asian, and or others.
What's Jew? Jew, what or what?
Other.
Others.
Jews are others at this point. So we used to be white. We started as other. We got white for a while, and now we're other again.
So if they turn the delts back and forth like this, and how I can know if everybody has answered the question is if everybody who moved the dials again back and forth, you see this right here? This tells me that people are still down. Okay, everybody stop. Now it stops here. So this tells me everybody's done down. I mean, even if it's at the 16% range, basically everybody's done down.
So according to the question, you change the choice, like from 1 to 5 or 1 to 3 or 1 to 4?
Yeah, it changes automatically through this console here. Change through this console to what the dials will read. 1 to 5, 1 to 2, 1 to 100, 1 to 10, or 0 to 10.
You know, input, output, you guys jump back.
So now, everyone go ahead and answer this question.
Does the device feel nice in the hand? Good industrial design?
Yeah. Okay, this one right here is just a basic question. Anybody that's a family member in the military, 1, yes, I'm serving in the military, or past. 2, yes, a member of my family served in the military, and no, nobody has my family or serving in the military. Mm-hmm. 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 Now, this is the moment of them. This is what we're going to do here. And what I'm doing, I'm just having a gender subset, green if it's male, and red if it's female. And what it's going to do, it's going to take the average of what you see here. For example, the white line that you'll see will be the average of the red and the green line put together. Okay?
Can I do something? For the sake of just interest, let me change the question. You don't have to change it in writing. Let me change the question to something more specific, which is, in terms of the negative positive, how in a moment-to-moment way, as you watch this clip, I want to know how much you believe in the efficacy and the effectiveness of Frank Luntz's techniques. In other words, is this man, I mean, because certain things he does, maybe you think that probably works, certain things don't. So as you're watching it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This is such a slightly more specific question, rather than how we feel, because even if you think he's evil, that in a sense we don't care. What I care about as the client today is, as people watch the things that he does and the things that he says, how are you feeling about his effectiveness as a pollster and a wordsmith, his effectiveness at actually determining how people feel and creating campaigns and language that manipulates them better or persuades them better. In other words, rate him as a persuader.
Okay, now if everybody turned it down to 50, 50 is neutral.
between 48 and 52, back to neutral one, because that's right now we have no pain, we have not seen. And then, like I was saying, as you watch it, the more you feel as though that he's saying something that you like, you are positive. It doesn't have to be, I like what he's saying, bam, I do factor 50. The more you hear and see what you, the more you hear and see what you like, you turn toward him. You could be 85, 95, 100, I really enjoy what he's saying right now, or, my God, I can't believe you just said that. Turn down to 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So it's the degree, any number in between. Like I said, between 50, between 40 and 52, you're kind of sitting on your fence. Right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and play it. Maybe more than before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, don't look over here. Just look over there. See? You guys can see.
That's why modern political campaigns also come to rely on an army of pollsters and market researchers, all taking the moment-by-moment pulse of the man on the street.
Which is cab drivers and antique dealers know more about America than anybody else. And when the cab drivers feel a certain way, I know I need to listen.
See? No one has imported the techniques and philosophy of market research into politics more successfully than Frank Luntz. His suburban Washington mansion is a shrine to the public zeitgeist.
Everything in here has a relationship to pop culture. It's what people prioritize in their lives. The truth is, as much as we want to focus on politics, the American people would rather watch television. As much as we want to talk about substance, they'd rather listen to music. So I have to know what they're watching, I have to know what they're listening to, and I gotta know why.
Luntz has built his career on a simple idea. It doesn't matter what you want to tell the public, it's about what they want to hear. His clients have been some of the most prominent Republican politicians of the last decade. There was the mayoral campaign for Rudolph Giuliani in 1993. His work for Silvio Berlusconi in Italy, and especially his collaboration with Newt Gingrich on the famous Contract with America, the document that ushered in the Republican Revolution in Congress. Luntz gives his clients one consistent piece of advice: heed the public will.
There's one technique that's more important than anything else, and that's the technique of listening. And that's basically what I do. I ask a lot of questions, and I know how to listen. If an electricity company stood up and said, we want to do it for your benefit, we want to do it for our benefit, we want to do it for everyone's benefit, and so we have a better approach to efficiency and to environmental cleanliness, is that kind of language positive or negative to you? By show of hands?
Tonight, Luntz's client is not a candidate, but a Florida utility wanting to build public support for a change in how it's regulated on the environment.
I know that the public is very down on corporate America in general, and they're down on power companies. So what is the language? What is the information? What are the facts? What are the figures that would get Americans to say, you know what, my electricity company, it's okay. 21st century technology, 1, 2, 3, 4. 21st century approach.
Luntz's specialty is testing language, finding words that work.
Integrity, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Reliability, there's the other one. If an electric company can demonstrate accountability, responsibility, and reliability when it comes to the environment, will that make you feel better about them?
Yes.
It's an art that even his political opponents grudgingly admire.
Frank Luntz doesn't do issues. He does language around issues. He figures out what words will best sell an issue. And he polls them, and he tests them, and he focus groups them, and he comes up issue by issue with how to talk about it and how not to talk about it.
If the language works, language works.
No, it's just amazing.
Luntz has sold his corporate and political clients the idea that a few carefully chosen words can make all the difference. But he's not just looking for any words. Luntz's quarry are those words that grab our guts and move us to act on an emotional level.
It's amazing that there's two words.
Constantly.
Like everything that we do come over the top.
So why do you think that companies don't use them?
Often they don't.
80% of our life is emotion and only 20% is intellect. I am much more interested in how you feel and how you think. How you think is on the outside. How you feel is on the inside. So that's what I need to understand. You're going to use these to register whether you agree or disagree, whether you believe or disbelieve. The dials go from 0 to 100.
When you get land which has no fossil fuels associated with it.
To get at his subject's gut feelings, Luntz has them register their moment-by-moment responses to a speech by a power company executive. Republicans are on the red line and Democrats on the green. Luntz is watching for both sides to meet in an emotional crescendo.
Change fuels can be a number of things that are available.
Climate, changing fuels. Bingo, look, phasing out older official plants. He's now up into the mid to upper 70s with that. You're replacing the bad with the good. It's almost like in with the good air, out with the bad. That might be an analogy that we might want to try instead of the automobile analogy. This is going to work. Watch. This will work. Check it. I told you. The words work. The words apply to the policy. This is how we're going to sell it. Look at this. Hold it. Stop.
By the end of this session, Luntz thinks he's found the language his client can use to create a groundswell of public support.
And I'll be able to walk to this electricity company on Monday and be able to say to them, your policy makes sense, and here's the language to explain it. That was the eureka moment when I watched people nod their heads, I watched them look to each other, and they were willing at this point to fight for this position.
But watching Luntz work, I couldn't help wondering, do the words he's found help the public see the issue more clearly, or do they disguise it? Is Luntz listening to us so his clients can give us what we want, or so we can figure out how to make us want what they have to sell?
You're ducking the question. You're ducking the reality test.
This is a guy who is merchandising ideas and merchandising a movement and merchandising a political party. And in many instances, the words that he says are the ones that resonate, are ones that make, that obscure to some extent the issue.
The right name makes the policy sell better. It's just like putting a name on a bar of soap or any other commercial product. It matters what you name things.
Journalist Nicholas Lemon wrote a profile of Luntz in the New Yorker magazine called The Word Lab. He described how Luntz once turned public opinion simply by replacing the name estate tax with the more emotionally charged death tax.
As far as I can tell, in the entire developed world, every single country had an estate tax, and it was completely uncontroversial all over the world. And it is clearly the case that this construction, this rhetorical construction of calling it the death tax, took it from the realm of something everybody was for and in a just unquestioned way into something that most people seem to be against and is on its way to being eliminated.
Look, for years, political people and lawyers, who, by the way, are the worst communicators, used the phrase estate tax. And for years, they couldn't eliminate it, but the public wouldn't support it because the word estate sounds wealthy. Someone like me comes around and realizes that it's not an estate tax, it's a death tax, because you're taxed at death. And suddenly, something that isn't viable achieves the support of 75% of the American people. It's the same tax, but nobody really knows what an estate is. But they certainly know what it means to be taxed when you die. I'd argue that is a clarification. That's not an obfuscation.
Luntz has admonished Republican politicians to talk about tax relief instead of tax cuts, and to replace the war in Iraq with the war on terror. He once told his party to speak of climate change, not global warming.
What is the difference? It is climate change. Some people call it global warming, some people call it climate change. What is the difference?
It apparently made enough difference to Republicans that they began to use climate change almost exclusively.
Caused climate change.
The president's global climate change initiative.
Climate change research.
And we must address the issue of global climate change.
I don't argue with you that words can sometimes be used to confuse. but it's up to the practitioners of this study of language to apply them for good and not for evil. It is just like fire. Fire can heat your house or burn it down.
Are there follow-up questions?
Yes.
Okay, here's a few follow-up questions about this particular topic. Before you've seen this video, how familiar were you with Franklin? 1 to 5. Unfamiliar and very familiar, and anything in between.
And that means before this clip, or even before the Persuaders movie at all.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Which one?
That's okay.
Which is the name?
Before seeing the movie at all.
Okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, or on a scale of 1 to 5, and 1 is 4 and 5 is excellent. How would you rate the clip that you just saw, Franklin? How would you rate that?
Like, in terms of how we feel about it, or?
Just how you feel about it, what he was saying.
Or him, or the movie itself?
Well, this would be the type of question that we'd say, okay, just what you just saw, and then what we do is we do a breakout session, and we go deeper into that. But just what you just saw, how do you feel about the clip?
About the clip itself.
The clip itself. Just the clip itself. Okay, did you learn anything from the Franklin clip you saw? Did you learn anything from that? Or was there something he said that you said, so, I didn't know that. Could you imagine Frank Les hosting a nightly news information show? Based on what you just saw. Now I ask you a few questions that it's going to be a little different because these are called the sweep questions, multiple choice. So you have to get 1 or 5. The next couple questions are going to be scale questions. On a scale up. Okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, you just saw. Does the word describe Frank Lynch very well or not describe him all? Use any numbers in between. Trustworthy. You just saw Frank Lynch. Does he seem like a trustworthy person? Do you know what step? Do you know what he was talking about? In your opinion, did Frank Lynch know what he was talking about? And then the last one from Frank Lynch. Frank Lynch is somebody that I can really use. The way he was talking about, kind of hit home, kind of feel the facts in the way. Does this describe Frank Lynch? In your opinion, or does it not describe? Okay, those are questions about Frank Lutz. And once we get that, I'll go into another segment of the PA and show you how I can set settings. Now there's another video. It's about a 5-minute clip. You want to show that, or you want?
Maybe we should go back and look at what we did with this one.
Oh sure. You can pop up if you want to rewind the.
We're not going to play it. We're going to play the whole thing. And then if there's time, we'll do another order.
Okay.
Okay, so this is you guys.
That's why modern political campaigns have also come to rely on an army of pollsters and market researchers, all taking the moment-by-moment pulse of the man on the street.
I got a rule, which is cab drivers and antique dealers know more about America than anybody else. And when the cab drivers feel a certain way, I know I need to listen.
No one has imported the techniques and philosophy of market research into politics more successfully than Frank Luntz. The suburban Washington mansion is a shrine to the public zeitgeist.
Everything in here has a relationship to pop culture. It's what people prioritize in their lives. The truth is, as much as we want to focus on politics, the American people would rather watch television. As much as we want to talk about substance, they'd rather listen to music. So I have to know what they're watching, I have to know what they're listening to, and I gotta know why.
Luntz has built his career on a simple idea. It doesn't matter what you want to tell the public, it's about what they want to hear. His clients have been some of the most prominent Republican politicians of the last decade. There was the mayoral campaign for Rudolph Giuliani in 1993. His work for Silvio Berlusconi in Italy. And especially his collaboration with Newt Gingrich on the famous Contract with America, the document that ushered in the Republican Revolution in Congress. Luntz gives his clients one consistent piece of advice: heed the public well.
There's one technique that's more important than anything else, and that's the technique of listening. And that's basically what I do. I ask a lot of questions, and I know how to listen. If an electricity company stood up and said, "We want to do it for your benefit, we want to do it for our benefit, we want to do it for everyone's benefit, and so we have a better approach to efficiency and to environmental cleanliness." Is that kind of language positive or negative to you? By show of hands?
Tonight, Luntz's client is not a candidate, but a Florida utility wanting to build public support for a change in how it's regulated on the environment.
I know that the public is very down on corporate America in general, and they're down on power companies. So what is the language? What is the information? What are the facts? What are the figures that would get Americans to say, you know what, my electricity company, it's okay. 21st century technology, 1, 2, 3, 4. 21st century approach.
Luntz's specialty is testing language, finding words that work.
Integrity. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Reliability. Here's the other one. If an electric company can demonstrate accountability, responsibility, and reliability when it comes to the environment, will that make you feel better about them?
Yes.
It's an art that even his political opponents grudgingly admire.
Frank Luntz doesn't do issues. He does language around issues. He figures out what words will best sell an issue. And he polls them, and he tests them, and he focus groups them, and he comes up, issue by issue, with how to talk about it and how not to talk about it.
If the language works, language works.
No, it's just amazing.
Luntz has sold his corporate and political clients the idea that a few carefully chosen words can make all the difference. But he's not just looking for any words. Luntz's quarry are those words that grab our guts and move us to act on an emotional level.
It's amazing that there's two words.
Constantly.
Everything that we do. Come up with the top.
Why do you think that companies don't use them enough? 80% of our life is emotion and only 20% is intellect. I am much more interested in how you feel than how you think. How you think is on the outside. How you feel is on the inside. So that's what I need to understand. You're going to use these to register whether you agree or disagree, whether you believe or disbelieve. The dials go from 0 to 100.
To get at his subject's gut feelings, Luntz has them register their moment-by-moment responses to a speech by a power company executive. Republicans are on the red line and Democrats on the green. Luntz is watching for both sides to meet in an emotional crescendo.
Change fuels could be a number of things that are available.
Climbing, changing fuels. Bingo, look. Phasing out of older official plants, he's now up into the mid to upper 70s with that.
you're replacing the bad with the good. It's almost like in with the good air, out with the bad. That might be an analogy that we might want to try instead of the automobile analogy. This is going to work. Watch. This will work. Check it. I told you. The words work. The words apply to the policy. This is how we're going to sell it. Look at this. Hold it. Stop. Stop.
By the end of the session, Lutz thinks he's found the language's client can use to create a groundswell of public support.
What words do you like?
I'll be able to walk to this electricity company on Monday and be able to say to them, your policy makes sense, and here's the language to explain it. That was the eureka moment where I watched people nod their heads, I watched them look to each other, and they were willing at this point to fight for this position.
But watching Lutz work, I couldn't help wondering, do the words he's found help the public see the issue more clearly, or do they disguise it? Is Lutz listening to us so his clients can give us what we want, or so we can figure out how to make us want what they have to sell?
You're ducking the question. You're ducking the reality test.
This is a guy who is merchandising ideas, and merchandising a movement, and merchandising a political party. And in many instances, the words that he says are the ones that resonate, are ones that make, that obscure to some extent the issue.
The right name makes the policy sell better. It's just like putting a name on a bar of soap or any other commercial product. It matters what you name things.
Journalist Nicholas Lemon wrote a profile of Lutz in the New Yorker magazine called The Word Lab. He described how Lutz once turned public opinion simply by replacing the name estate tax with the more emotionally charged death tax.
As far as I can tell, in the entire developed world, every single country had an estate tax, and it was completely uncontroversial all over the world. And it is clearly the case that this construction, this rhetorical construction of calling it the death tax, took it from the realm of something everybody was for, and in a just unquestioned way, into something that
so
most people seem to be against and is on its way to being eliminated.
Look, for years, political people and lawyers, who by the way are the worst communicators, used the phrase estate tax. And for years they couldn't eliminate it. The public wouldn't support it because the word estate sounds wealthy. Someone like me comes around and realizes that it's not an estate tax, it's a death tax, because you're taxed at death.
Yeah.
And suddenly something that isn't viable achieves the support of 75% of the American people. It's the same tax, but nobody really knows what an estate is. They certainly know what it means to be taxed when you die. I'd argue that is a clarification, that's not an obfuscation.
Lutz has admonished Republican politicians to talk about tax relief instead of tax cuts, and to replace the war in Iraq with the war on terror. He once told his party to speak of climate change, not global warming.
What is the difference? It is climate change. Some people call it global warming, some people call it climate change. What is the difference?
It apparently made enough difference to Republicans that they began to use climate change almost exclusively.
Cause climate change.
The president's global climate change initiative.
Climate change research.
And we must address the issue of global climate change.
I don't argue with you that words can sometimes be used to confuse, but it's up to the practitioners of this study of language to apply them for good and not for evil. It's just like fire. Fire can heat your house or burn it down.
That is interesting. I mean, I would expect most audiences, when they look at him just throwing out words and then writing it down on a pen, that would be sort of, that would be like low credibility. And then when you see all the technology, that, oh, people go, ooh, that looks real. But I guess you guys are you're not techno-virgins, so you're not any more enthusiastic about, doing it on a graph. Than live. It's kind of interesting. But yeah, we noticed whenever Lutz came on the screen, it went down. And when other people talked about it, it was like, ooh. Because he seems like this potent adversary. You know, and that's when he seems...
One of the things I was wondering is, you know, if any of the people who were actually using the knob, whenever he disappeared, everyone was more favorable. Were you keeping in your head his credibility, or were you kind of just like thinking about what if you like what you're hearing?
I don't know. It was hard.
Because that's the point. I feel like unless the question is really, unless it's very easy to keep the question in your head,
right,
your results that you're going to get are all skewed.
Because I
would have reacted like, yeah, I like it when these guys are critiquing me. But that's not the same question.
I think
question.
Even more than that, it's hard to answer a question like the question you asked using that.
Right.
I feel good, I feel bad.
Yeah.
But is he more credible now?
I was
trying to do that, and that's what I was trying to. But if it had just been how you feel, well, to be fair, if it had just been how you feel about it, it probably would have been like zero.
Yeah, that's why I was scared to do that.
My interpretation of the question was not even about his credibility, because what I thought you asked was the efficacy of this technique,
right,
which
right.
is totally different than his
yeah.
credibility.
Does
this
stuff work? Although,
sure.
when
yeah.
Giuliani and Berlusconi showed up, things went down, and clearly Giuliani's campaign was
But
effective.
That could be an emotional, that's an emotional
Right,
that's
an emotional reaction to the Giuliani.
Some of those things are emotional.
Right. Do you guys find that emotional questions work better in the gradient than logical ones?
Yeah, and you have to remember, when we do this, you have to throw out, let's say for example, this one, you have to throw out your feelings towards Frank Lenzen. Listen to what he's saying. Do you like what he's saying?
Right.
Not do you like Frank Lenzen, period.
Right.
Because you could just like dislike him because you know him and you just feel negative about him.
Right.
Period. But do you like what you're hearing from him? Because
plus,
that's Frank and Lenzen.
It seems like, I don't know, but do you usually show just one, like someone giving a speech or throwing out different words? Because we had to watch different clips
right.
and like, reorient ourselves.
Well, what's the other one you
had?
Is it part of a sitcom?
Yeah, it's part of a TV show. As a matter of fact, if we watch this, I don't want to tell you much about it. I'll tell you about it once we're done, because I don't want to screw your...
Let's do it.
Yeah.
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 The same
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did
you
have any delay when you see the footage and then
how
did you make the decision, or...
Yeah.
But it was pretty clear what things were.
Well, on this one right here, we asked a question, asked those three questions, how, you know, intelligent, trustworthy, and so forth, you felt about them, and you can see here that a lot of people said, well, Frank Mac knows his stuff, he knows what he's talking about, he knows the advertising world on this particular clip. And then, you know, of course, can you relate to him, is he trustworthy? Well, no, he's not trustworthy. But he does know his stuff. So this is kind of like a very, very, very big significant difference.
Okay, let's look at the clip that you brought. So let's see.
So when you run it back, do we, you know, how big is the lag between the results and then the tape? Like if it's, when you coordinate the tape with the results, does it adjust for the lag so you know the second you hear that word?
It's about a second.
Okay.
But we'll know. If we're watching, what we can do is we can pause it, and then you can see, so, okay, this is when he said the global warming, and you can see it spike, so we can tell. And what we can do is we can actually go into the data, and then there we can know exactly second for second, exactly what he said. So once we get the data back to you, we put in an ASCII file, and you can see the numbers. So you can say 14 minutes and 31 seconds. This is where it's
so the ASCII file that you end up getting is adjusted.
Yes.
And then can you calibrate those lines for different, like, for the race, for all the data you put in at the beginning? Can you can you replay it with different data, like just instead of showing male and female, you're showing race,
yes.
like different
any,
demographics?
Any questions asked would be great. Do it by as far as female who family members in the army and who are 25 to 48.
Do you use this strictly with, the things that we saw on the screen or saw in your movie where it's a political speech, so the camera's on one person with their opinion and words all the time? Is it ever used in this kind of context? Because this is like edited media with, you know, other people's opinions, side interviews, multiple. Do you ever use it with this kind of playback to get any kind of data? Because to me it seems impossible to get anything from this type of media to get a response.
Well, you play whole news reports from people.
Yes. We play completely. I mean, the one that's here, we just picked out this particular segment. I mean, there was more onto this and more onto this, you know, this side and this side over here. This was just this particular segment right here. So, for example, the show we're about to watch, this is his kind of ended in 5 minutes. But this was the whole entire show of this. So we've done everything from, one of the major ones we did was when Bill Clinton gave his speech about, you know, I didn't have sex with the first one. We actually went out there and we actually did that for him prior to him going on air. So there were a bunch of his staff members and a bunch of other people. He did his speech, he adjusted it, and then he went on air. Well, we go from everywhere, from the political world. We did everything from the George Bush to Kerry. We did all of that. A lot of the stuff you see on Nightline, and we said, okay, this raid or this crowd, that was us. So we go. I guess we're.
So you guys worked for R.J. Reynolds and Philip Morris at any point?
Yeah. We actually did R.J. Reynolds for a long time, but then the person that we worked for, the person who actually owned the business, didn't really agree with going after smokers, and so we stopped it. But then now the person's left the company, and he's worked for another company, so we do go after. Or I don't say go after, but we've been in touch by cigarette drinking. You name it, we've been in touch by. As a matter of fact, I'm going over to Dublin next week because their big political is in November, and we're going over there for them to do something. In Dublin, Ireland, they're going to be picking some of their cabinet members and so forth. So they have a very, very, very big campaign.
So most of your clients are government and business?
Well, actually most of our clients are in the entertainment world. We do everything from the ABC to FX is probably one of our, I don't want to say biggest client because they're kind of new, but one of our clients who actually always uses, and we do everything that you've seen on FX thus far, we've tested.
We're testing,
yeah.
Ideas
on concepts on how do you like the show, how do you like each character in the
like
show.
Pilots.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. One of the shows we'll watch, and then this is one of the ones that was for FX, and I'll explain more to you next week.
Yeah, let's do this next example, and then ask more questions.
Yeah. No. It doesn't. You don't.
Well,
it
doesn't. Do you have anyone in the military?
It doesn't have to be female because we calibrate that. The numbers don't matter.
So anybody who wants one, get one from someone who did it. Okay, is everybody ready? Everybody get to 50? Between 40 and 52? Well, this particular segment we're seeing right now is a little more. This particular segment we're seeing right now, which is why I asked one of the questions, do you have any members in the military? Because we're about to watch something that has to do with military. And it's a little bit the verbiage a little bit more bluer than what we see in the templates.
Wait, so
what are we reacting? The scale is on this particular one, do you like this show? This is a TV show. Do you like it? A zero is I don't like it, and 100 I completely like it. So we're using the scale.
Wait, hold on.
Do you like what you see? Do you want to record?
Because I was in the military.
Yeah. Oh wait. So can we redo that one website? All right. So we're going to redo the military question because we move things around. Okay. We'll redo this right here. Okay. So put one if you are serving, or have served in the past. Two if a family member is serving, and three if no military.
I was.
Yeah.
Family member.
Pardon me?
just period, just in the military, just between the last 15, 20 years, or just period, every family member that was, and was, and that is.
In our bed. What is this important?
We'll see.
Find out.
So we'll just use just a basic skin. Oh, actually, this one. Where's the lugs? The one I'm
holding. The white one is in there now. Rate the shows if you like it. Like,
yeah.
Program entertaining.
Yeah.
Okay. So this one's like completely like what I'm saying, literally just like.
Thank you. Sir, sir. That's all right, soldier. Good to see you're ready to defend your position.
Yes, sir.
You might want to use your weapon next time.
Yes, sir.
Sergeant, you're moving up at midnight, 50 meters dead on. You're tightening the noose. You got me?
Yes, sir. Any air support?
Negative, Sergeant. Air's dedicated to another area.
Yes, sir.
How'd these women end up here?
The motor transport. They were dropping a few guys on the vehicle and down this morning. I'm sorry. That's what started this whole mess.
I'm going to go behind you and get to the next squad, okay? Don't let the crazy Texans shoot you.
Oh, sir.
Sorry, son.
Sorry? Are you guys even once paid to lay hands on the Mad Cow?
Mad Cow.
Yep.
Oh, he's a gangster. I love my MVGs.
Shut up, man. You saw him? He's a combat zone.
Yeah, I grew up in a goddamn combat zone.
You think you're bad for? Mortar lands on your head, you won't find enough of you to fill the combat. Now shut up. Let's move.
If you knew anybody or if you had any family members that you knew, this one from
in Washington, D.C., to remember from Seattle, Washington, for the CYO Club, and I think it was in Washington, D.C., to military captain generals and so forth. The very first one we did was actually for the market. So that's why I brought this room. And then there was a bunch of questions afterwards. I don't know if you want to go into the questions.
Do you have a bunch of the questions? Do you want to see the reactions? Okay. Explain to us, and maybe show it a few different parameters, if you can. Or I guess you can't. We're programmed to now email on our recording.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
Can we just,
I would have had to done that as well. Right. Yeah, this one's
the can we just see the data without the video?
Yeah, you can. Well, what we would normally do before we show this right here, we would ask the client what steps that they
wanted
to see. And then they would tell us, and then we would go ahead and then show it on.
Does it really kind of set up to reinforce like preconceived notions rather than uncover some unknowns?
Well, it's maybe it's because it just showed I literally just went out and picked up a passport topic and then asked. It sets it up from the very beginning, why these guys are where they are right now, to the very end, what happens to two members of this particular unit. So it's not just all of a sudden, bam, they're in war. It's how they got there, what they left behind. And it's basically, some of the questions are asked is, your family members, because it dealt with, this is actually dealing with the war, but it deals with the other side of how the family members here in the States are coping with their sons and daughters and husbands and wives over their fighting. And then it shows that one part the person gets killed, and then it shows the military going to that person's house and handing them the wife the letter. It goes from A to Z.
Did you question some military people about how realistic they think this thing
is? Well, we questioned military, that was the first four or five sessions we did. We got some people who, about 95% of them said this is realistic. Everything that they saw, and you can see it was one camera. That's why there was some jiggling. It wasn't the video or anything like that. It was one camera, one handheld camera. And then when they put on, one person in particular, or actually a group of people in particular were saying about how when they put on the scope, when it goes in that gray, that's exactly how it looks.
But what about the conversations, though?
I was going to say that.
There's no way in hell anyone's going to have these conversations when someone's firing about them. No way, ever. Did anyone say any soldier who was in Iraq actually said that this type of conversation takes place?
According to the data that we collected and all the process that we've done, this was very realistic from the verbiage, from the talking to the shooting. And
no,
it sounds
very different.
This makes a conversation.
Why the American military doesn't matter?
This was just a particular segment. It goes into, after this particular segment, they go into camp, and then the officer is yelling at a couple of guys because they fired, because they said, you're not supposed to, I don't know if you're listening to this, whatever you do, don't fire. But they fired anyway, and then they were saying, but in a realistic world, if you're out there, somebody's firing at you, you're going to throw all that stuff out the window, which it goes into that, and you're going to fire because you're fired upon.
How do you typically come up with the questions that you're going to ask about the pieces that you show your...
Well, we watched the people send us the videos. And then we watch it, and then we come back, and then the client will say, okay, here's a beginning, middle, and end. These are some questions that we definitely want to ask, and we insert the, we kind of make a sandwich. They give us the ingredients, and we kind of make it. And so for this particular one, it goes into how we like each one of the characters on there, because there were like five or six main characters on here. So we ask the characters, and we ask about how realistic it is, and we ask,
so these are parameters that ultimately the FX executives have decided are the components of a successful show.
Yes.
So they think we've got to have at least three characters that the audience likes, and maybe they're concerned they don't. It's got to be realistic enough to have this, but not so realistic that it does that. So they come in, basically the committee of development people, probably everybody's got their concerns.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And they're, you know.
We have to ask each question. We have to ask a question because everybody, I would probably still be doing groups.
Now, the data, the lines, is the data stored in your computer now?
Yes.
So could we see without the video playing, you could show us how the lines looked?
Yes.
Can you show us how the lines look based on other parameters?
Yeah,
can you break them up into people with, like, break the threes out from the ones and the twos?
Yeah, what I'll do is I'll go ahead and close this down here, and I'll assume we're not probably asking questions.
Yeah, but the lines.
So I'll close this down.
Yeah, I'm interested in seeing the lines that they would have made.
And I made one. I made a.
You want to see our own gender one?
Let's
see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
oh,
really?
No, no.
You have lips?
You don't have, like, a glimmer on it.
Not even the
sun.
Yeah, I knew that was you. I saw the blip there. I knew you would
have.
Yeah.
That would be.
Well, I just want to see the see there's a difference.
Yeah.
Now, this one is here. I just created just a basic one. This is females who are 25 to 39, and who are
and this is of us.
Yes, this is right here. So what we can do is. Now this scale right here.
So we don't know what it's in relationship to. It's just.
We're not going to see a clip under it, right? But
like,
well, we can see the lines happen fast. So the white is.
But the white is the total.
And.
So it's all female whites?
It's all females and all whites.
The white is everyone.
Yeah.
The green is female.
We're not all white.
Well, no, I just grabbed that.
I get you.
What I can do is.
So the blue line is the people who are white.
The blue line is white.
The white female is.
Yeah, the white female. Okay.
And green is all females, and the white is all everyone.
The white line is
everyone.
Yeah, everyone.
This one tells me, this one would go to ethnic. If you wanted to see all the ethnic ones, this one goes to gender. If you're in the military, if you're not in the military.
Let's see that one, the military or not.
Was there someone?
And see if they're different reactions.
Yeah, you were in the military.
We have a couple of military and military.
I was hardly
adults.
Ever
shooting.
In this situation.
I mean, in the real groups, were there differences between military type reactions and.
Yes.
And
non? Yeah. What about, is it possible to game the system? Like, do people try and rig the results or, like, obfuscate them somehow?
Well, you get weird individuals, I guess. And then you can mix them, right? If you have people responding what you consider to be atypically to the point of lying about their reactions, you just yank them from the.
Yeah, you can go into the database. You can go into the raw database and say, let's say, for example, if you are sleeping. And we, if you turn your dials to the side, that gives us the number. So if the client says, well, the guy was sitting over here, the way we handle that is we try to hand him out in numeric order, but we don't try to say, as they're walking in, here. They sit where they want to sit, so it's random. And then if the clients are looking through a two-way mirror, they say, well, this person in front was sleeping, we want him out. So what we do is we go through the dial number, and we go ahead and yank his number. We go ahead and delete his number.
Oh.
What's your typical audience? In terms of, like, how do you get them, and then how many people are there?
Well, it's usually 25. We do for this one, we've always had two groups of 25. So it's basically it's what the client in number wants to be. So we want our in number to be, regardless of what we do, we want our in number to be 500 stretched out over 3 days. So then we say, okay, two times. So we just divide that by how many days, and we say, okay, or if you did that, we need to do two groups of 25 spanned over 3 days.
But I mean, are you going to specific locations to get a certain type of person, or
do you run
most of your tests out of
your? We go to particular locations. We do everything from the Oklahoma, the far depths of Oklahoma, to here in New York, and we do all Los Angeles. The client actually tells us this is where we want our demographics to be.
Do you do your own recruiting?
No, we go to a facility in that particular city, and then we say, okay, these are, this is what we, this, these are people that we want to recruit. We want to recruit at least 25% has to be military, 25% has to be this, 25%, and they have to come in and that.
And so for now, this is limited by the people have to be in the same room together to use this.
Yes, we would all have to be.
They have something with the phone system as well, right? I saw in your brochure that the people can phone in their opinions, but they can watch something and then do the phone.
Well, that's a completely different survey. That's an internet survey. And what you do is that if they'll say, okay, we want you to go to this particular website, www.overthere.com, and then watch the video, and then they'll have a slider. You can see the slider here. And then as you're watching it, you slide the slider that tells you if you like it, if you don't like it. It's through the internet.
Let us see this one, as long as you're in it. I'm just interested if these lines stay together or.
Can you just go through it fast?
Yeah, you can just drag through it.
Do you want to drag through it?
Yeah. Okay. You don't have to do it. Together, but military is higher for some reason a little bit.
Because it's more stable.
Yeah.
Well, how many people have military?
Yeah, it was indeed a bit.
It's five. There's five military and seven non-military.
Okay, so that's.
They've been through war, so they just the bombs go and they just. And that's not true. This before.
One
and the regular people.
Why is it so jumpy?
Yeah.
Because I was.
Dropping bombs and making all this noise.
No, I was trying a gaming technique.
That was you?
Yeah. Oh. All the jumpiness is me.
Really?
Yeah.
Take him out. What number is that?
Why
are you yanking him out?
Why did you get the system?
No, I wanted to see how possible, you know? I was like, trying to technique.
What number
three.
Were you?
I was three. Yeah, I was number three.
Can you take out number three from this?
Please.
I mean,
he was trying to fuck the thing up.
It worked in the other one. Like there, you could see like the blips that I only did it once or twice in the first one, but.
What he was trying to do was to see.
See how well you can like how stable the results
like
are.
That, yeah. So for sure we want him out.
Yeah.
Get him out.
Where are you going? Once I just leave him out, I have to stay in the game. Usually what I do is I say,
yeah, it's okay.
Change your mind. You can lose his out. You can't say, well, we're not playing back in it.
Yeah, just take him out.
This is a coliseum, not a coliseum.
Take that liar out.
I mean, I suppose afterwards you guys look at the, if there was just a person going up and down randomly, you'd find that, wouldn't you?
Well, we'd be going to the raw data, and we'd just look at the raw data, and
yeah.
Say, okay, this person looks like they're at zero, all the way to the whole time.
Yeah.
They would probably pump it.
That was him. Who would take his vote? But he wouldn't screw it up so bad.
Yeah.
Just sit and
I moved it.
I was at zero a lot of the time.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
I just went up.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, me too. I went up with the sunset.
Yeah.
I like that.
I changed the channel, but I couldn't.
You know, this is.
There's two mean scores. There's the human mean, which is the average last result of the show. And then there's the mean, which is the average for that second as you watch it. So we watch either Q mean here, or we can go into.
Can you say that one more time?
Sure. The cumulative mean, this is the average as we're watching. So if we watch it for 30 seconds, and we're in 31 seconds, it's the average of that whole entire show of 31 seconds.
Historic.
And then the Q mean here is the average of that second right there as you're watching. So what we'll do is we'll go to Q mean. Maybe that'll make a jump here.
How much did studies run average in price?
Well, it all depends on how many gals you need, and exactly.
Right, let's say like average 25.
So average 25 for us to go out there and probably start at about $2,900.
Minus
in travel, minus in expenses.
Okay.
Do you think 25 is enough for the...
Well, it's not the 25 for... It's not 25 for that particular session. It's the total in number. So we could do 25, so the total in number would be...
There's something funky in the system. I mean, I didn't go all the way to zero just because I wanted to keep a bit more space to go down. I think this whole reader system does something psychological to the person when they're watching this, and the numbers that you're getting there aren't accurate.
But relative, it's the up and down is what matters more.
What they need to do is have it like rotational without values, and just when you feel bad, just keep going down, and then you normalize that.
The question, depending on what the show we're watching, the question could be different. It's like, well, this one right here was just, I just picked one. Do you like what you're seeing? Now, it could be, you know, how close to home do you feel this is? Or, you know, how do you do this or do you do that? It could be any question. Basically, the moment to moment is about 35% of what is needed, because the questions afterward, that's the meat and potatoes. That's what the client wants to know. Do you like the show? Do you like these characters? You know, how is this? How is that? We go more in depth once we ask those questions. And then what they do is they say, okay, we want to pick out a breakout group. So we want 10 people out of this particular group. So we want 5 people who are in the military and 5 people who are not. So can you tell us what dials are not? So we can tell them what dial the members who are in the military and who are not.
But isn't part of the conceit of the dial that you get information from the dial that people don't know? That they think, in other words, you might ask people, do you like character C? And they're like, oh, no, we don't like him. But then when you play the thing, whenever character C shows up, their dials are going up. So you can say, people think they don't like this guy, but actually, they do. Yeah. Or does that not happen?
No, that happens a lot. As a matter of fact, that was one of the things on the Frank Luntz, when we saw the Frank Luntz summary. Everybody hated him, but when he knew what he was talking about, he just jumped off the chart. Everybody hated his bits, but he knew what he was talking about. So that's one of those.
Right. We have this. Is this line in there? The line with number 3 removed.
Yes, there is. I'm 97
out there. More natural. It's more natural.
It's not as interesting though.
You can say that about a lot of things, though. Life's more interesting than, you know, I don't really like that. For a while, anyway. But you have to look at the histogram, too, because what's dragging it down, we have 10 or 20 here, but there are people who are up in the 50s and 60s.
Right. I know, it's a lover.
So you got another strong dislike.
Yeah. Well, you usually, I mean, most things peak around the middle, but these peak on the edges.
Yeah,
I mean, my problem with the show was not the subject matter of the plotting, but the acting, actually.
Yeah.
Seems so bad compared to the... The more real, the more Blair Witch the camera work, the more real I need people to be, and these guys just seem... One of them seemed like an okay actor. One of the privates, but the
sergeant
was
awful. Oh my god!
Now, if you watch the whole entire, if we watch the whole entire show, your reactions may be different from the sergeant, because there's a lot of stuff that, you know, when that one lady, Mrs. B, the dumb Mrs. B, don't call me that. She's the one who had the younger. There's a lot of stuff happening at home, and that's why she's the way she is. So.
Well, I didn't mind. I didn't say that much. I tried to do it myself and all that. I didn't do it like that.
People get all this crap out of the show.
There's a lot of stuff. Our character.
That's
going on.
There's the guy who was yelling about the other guy getting to go home and he got his consoles out.
I just have no TV literacy, huh? I have no ability to explain any of this out.
The key to this is really focusing the parameters of the question. Because especially like near the end, I was really into it just because it looked like cool. It looked like a video. It looked like Splinter Cell, actually, the video game. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't hearing that guy say that horrible dialogue anymore. So I was like, This is awesome.
Yeah.
Guns and
thank God he's gone.
Yeah, actually, sitting over here watching it, one thing I can say
is the sunset.
Really,
I'm just seeing how that tape. Where is that? Genius
show.
Yeah.
It was in the night vision. It was like up in the 60s.
Yeah.
Do you find the major differences or emotional reactions when you do groups that are aware of the media and groups that are not aware of the media? Which, I mean, the media, it turns out what they're saying, how the footage is perceived, the whole aesthetics of the footage.
Well, we try to set it up in a way that we say, okay, prior, before, if this was a real group, and if we were moderating this group, I would always set this thing up completely different from, okay, time is a factor, let's talk this in, let me know what you think. Okay,
yeah.
We would go into, okay, what you're about to see, is there a group of people? This is what their background is. This is this, 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 this.
Sound go
away,
just
watch.
I think somebody
may have
got shot
up
there, sir.
It's 4 o'clock.
Don't call me, sir.
Oh, you have to suffer.
So those up downs are from you?
Yeah.
Wow, this is a small enough group. Looks like a stock market thing. You look at the peaks and the valleys.
Yeah, no, it's not. It was not an effective gaming of the system. You, if you had three people doing it, though, it probably mess things up.
Three people.
Yeah.
No, but not
the
female.
Yeah,
but
we'll have to.
Well, the female one is accurate.
I mean, couldn't you have gamed the system for maybe 10 seconds?
Yeah.
No, it was the point is to see over the whole thing. See if it works.
It was one
tactic. You have to try, you know, like if you want to hack the system, you have to try repeatedly.
He's not even on the list.
Once you game it, you know it works after 10 seconds. It works the same after 10 seconds after some nights.
It's
well, it seems like it worked. It worked though, right? Because no, no, but I mean, it's
stop him around.
All right, put Abe in the front. Let's see how we feel about it. start justifying the game.
Sometimes they agree with him though. That one there.
No, it's probably just me staying up there longer.
No, no, women came out.
Oh yeah. The power of suggestion.
That was funny.
It is a good idea. A group of 25 wouldn't have affected it as much. But still, it does. One person going nuts on it.
There's about the true scale of what we would have done once we saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We went plus before anything else after the session, we would probably went into the data and try to find that out.
Yeah.
That's too much of a.
Yeah.
So we would probably just. Do exactly what we did to these ones.
Right.
I agree with what you were saying about, like, I did the last time, not this time, but you want to leave room for, like, if you really hate something or if you really like something. So I felt like I was, like, cautious. Like, I was only hearing so far from the middle because I didn't know where the end was for me. So you're right about it.
We can start a company with
the
thing is the 360 pots cost $10,000, huh?
Thank you. Do you ever get clients in that you think are trying to find out bad stuff or stuff they shouldn't know? Well, we get some clients in that will kind of try to want to ask you the wrong question. They'll say, like, for example, some of the questions I have just for you are always enjoying the show. And it has to be, you can't have any leading questions. Some clients are quite sneaky questions. We know you like the show, but on a scale of 1 to 10, how much did you like it? So an average respondent would say, well, I guess I did like the show, so I'll rate it higher than if the question was on a scale of 1 to 10, how much did you like the show? You can't ask the leading questions. So it's almost like law. You can't ask the leading question. Can't say, well, I know you killed this guy, but how many times did he stab? What type of jet? You can't ask any questions. I mean, yeah, but I'm going to send out. Do you feel? I mean, you've been working with this stuff a while, so on one level, you're going to be biased just because you've been working with it. But do you see this technology being able to find information about groups that someone just sitting in a room talking to people can't get?
Yeah, because of the question that you asked after the video, on this particular video, there are close to 50 questions. They delve into more important things than just basically how did you like the show.
But it saves time because you can do it all at once. But if you just sat with her and found out all her stuff, you know, you're this military and that, and asked her all the questions, would that be the same as asking her the questions on a dial?
Well, no. Well, I would probably say no, because that person, if you're sitting across the table from that person, because if I'm sitting across the table from you, if I'm asking those questions, you might be kind of nervous. You might be telling me what I want to hear. Versus you have a dial, it's in your hand, nobody knows what you're thinking. Well, I hated that show. I completely hated it. You're not going to, the chances are, you telling the person sitting next to you, I hate that show. They probably say, well, I kind of like it, but.
So you think the anonymity of it is even better than filling out a form or a card at the end of the screen?
Yes. Yes. Very much so.
Plus you get the real-time reactions to things, which you're saying is not the meat and potatoes, but there's information to be gained from.
Yes.
I mean, they did this during the Clinton speech, right?
Yes.
But does that mean, when they were doing it for the Clinton speech, were they... When he said, I didn't have sex with that woman, was even that those words...
Yeah,
was that land, or was that
well, he used? He used. There's two words he used. I didn't have sexual intercourse, but then they rewrote it to I didn't have relations or something like that. I forgot the exact word. Sexual relations instead of sexual intercourse. So they used different words. It's just like it's almost like with that Frank Lynch speech about global warming. Instead of using, I forgot the word that it used. Yeah, climate change. Instead of using global warming, they changed. So a lot of his, I shouldn't say a lot of his speech, but some of his speech they just rewrote.
And if he hadn't changed it, though, he would have actually been telling the truth. Because he had sexual relations, but he didn't have sexual intercourse.
Yeah.
Oddly enough.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just one of them.
Yeah.
That's just one of them. We did the John Kerry, we did the first two John Kerry.
I mean, things like the campaign, you know, John Kerry, a guy in John Kerry reporting for duty. But that was tested, you think?
Well, yeah, we did a lot of stuff with John Kerry. As a matter of fact,
I suppose.
It's not the guy's name who started yelling and all of a sudden, that's
Dean.
Dean.
Yeah.
We did that. We did a, and then after we showed that speech, and after that speech, everybody was so naked, he just got dropped off the case. After that, yelling.
But you know the company that does this?
Well, we're the only company that has these dials. There are other companies that has dials, but they don't do the moment-to-moment. They just have, basically,
polling, I guess.
Questions, discrete and scaled questions. They'll actually discrete and scaled questions.
So
as
far
as the
are they patented? The company made it.
Yeah, yes, yes. So the episode you saw, Frank Lynch, if you noticed, it says perception analyzer. And two, I don't know if he actually came out and said, well, hey, I developed it, or I did this. Well, I want to sit there and say, well, he's 50, so I'll wait this. We developed this, we invented this. It was out of Portland, Oregon, it was close to 20 years ago, in that packet, hand around. I think the second or third page will give you history of where it's been from here to now. So,
and is it patented?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so nobody can come in and say, well, I'm going to do the interception analysis. So as a matter of fact, a lot of stuff we patents. We have other companies going out there and say, well, that's sort of like ours. And we say, well, no, it's not.
Make sure you pick up all of this.
Change. Pardon me?
On your way up, make sure you have all of this.
Yeah. These will work with anybody. They're not going to open your garage door. They won't change your channel.
No.
But we can reverse your
thing.
I just want to
use it. Arthur Bell.
This is
diesel control.
Yeah, but you know that complex device. Finally, it's just a controller. It's more Howard Hughes. That's the.
It's just a pot. Pot of screen and
ask
wireless.
Yes or no. You can ask yes or no questions. They don't actually say yes or no.
question, we'll show the letter on here.
I mean, do you find that some clients are wowed just by the fact that there's the technology and all the graphs and all this stuff, that it makes them feel more secure in answers than they would be if it was more?
Yeah, on a large group. So if we're, if the end number was 200, what you're seeing is 95% confidential. So if you grab
95%.
Yeah, so 5% of it is kind of like, well, it's like, for example, you're going up again. Well, that's percent. So we have to go, that's when we go out and we actually look at the raw data.
Right,
so
right,
we
right.
look at it and say, okay, well,
that's the standard.
Let's throw them out. Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Not confidential.
Well, okay, I guess it would be standard confidential. So,
or
so we would actually go into the data. So we can actually, if this data was,
is the guy who wrote this program like in an office in Portland somewhere?
Yes. Yes, he is.
Yeah, really, what language is it written in, you know? Probably Portland.
Yeah, it's probably
one compiler. 20 years ago.
Yeah, right.
They've updated it.
I would bet you it's
the same.
Visual, probably Visual Basic.
The evil is
the and I bet you it's C.
It's like most working on the world, we're trying to control each other with the controllers and then start asking
if it's
software.
Is it Linux? Linux? I'm sorry.
It's still kind of joy pointing at university
winters. It's a penny way for sex.
This would be very beautiful.
Well,
that's
all right. You don't mind that so much.
Just
this is the game question. Can I use this for sex? Can I use this as a weapon?
No. I think it's interesting that we're so used to this, like, the architecture of, like, a remote, that it feels instinctual that we'd be able to control other things with this.
Yeah.
You know?
I know.
It's like, it's even that it's part of our, like, fantasy or whatever, because it's just so tough.
It's
hard
being there.
Except you do
control.
I got
tired of holding the
guy.
Look at this.
Like,
after a little while, you'll learn. After, if you sit down and watch a 45-minute show, The new dials that we have coming out next year, if you move your dials left to right, you see it move smoothly.
Yeah.
The new dials will have, when you go to 50, they'll have just a little bump, so you know you have 50.
Oh.
So you can actually see how to watch it, so you can say, okay, bam, there's that bump. So
it's a little feedback.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that we're doing with the new dials. Now, with this right here, like I was saying earlier, what they do is some of the questions that were asked, gender, when we say gender, you can actually go into it and see what DAO voted, or what DAO was gen male and what DAO was female, by just going over to the, and how each person voted. You can actually see how each person voted. DAO number 6, they had this 4, DAO number 1, 11, and 4, and so forth. So you can see.
And in theory, you know who it is. So if there was, everybody hated the show, one person liked it, then you could find out who that person is, bring them back in, and go.
Exactly.
And then, what person are you?
Are there scenarios where your clients are watching behind their two-way mirror, and then they're making this breakout group, and do the clients say, like, I want that person, that person, like, it's
tough. They'll come back with a piece of paper.
Okay.
And they'll come up with a piece of paper, and then we'll say, 6, 14, 18, 32, 24, and 36.
Because they know who 6 is by the way 6 looks? Or
they
see the data from 6 and 6 matches certain requirements they have?
Well, usually what happens is after, let's say if this was a true session, is okay, now we need 5 minutes to collect data. You guys go out and go to the restroom, come back, and then sit in the same seat. So while they're gone, I would go back and the client would say, okay, I want to know what dial, who is in the military? I want to know what dial is in the military.
Okay.
And so I would go to this particular one right here, and they come up to here and say, okay, yes, I'm serving in the military, and I have a family member in the military, so dial number 1, or dial number 4 and 8, I definitely want this one because they have to be serving.
Okay.
And then I want to balance it out, I want to have some non-members.
Okay.
And then so they'll write all the numbers down, I'll come back in and say, okay, these are the people that are going to be staying for the folks for the very class.
Did you ever feel, I mean, we have to wrap, some of you got to have our other discussions, do you ever feel
bad about anything that happened in a session? Do you ever feel that client, oh, I wish that client didn't have that piece of information? In other words, that there's like a nasty or a sort of an ethical qualm. That's like, oh God, now this liquor company knows how to market to a 6-year-old. Or now this, more people are smoking, or this politician's gonna really, I mean, the lunch stuff is kind of obvious in a way. It's like, ugh, I mean, yeah, it works, but even he knows. I mean, he's taking a term and flipping it. I mean, there's ways to use this in ways that can finally help you be dishonest.
Yes, I mean, if you want to venture down that path, normally what we do is, when I see a script, and if I see some things that enter that really shouldn't be in there, I'll go to the client and say, well, you might want to delete this particular question because this is too much, or you just
don't. Can you give us an example?
We did film groups for hotel.com, and the people who actually made the course, advertising people, people who write it, are the worst people in the world to have behind the screen because they think what their commercial is the best commercial since sliced bread.
Right.
And when it's doing badly, they will say the Dallas, they didn't understand that particular question, or I don't think, let's redo that. And so you can't go on 30-second ad and do it because that takes away the instant. So the people who actually write the commercials, we don't really like seeing back, or we know that they're going to cause a little bit of commotion.
Yeah.
But for hotel.com, some of the stuff that they were doing and saying, they were bad mouthing. Let's see. I forgot the name of the other chain. Expedia. They were bad mouthing Expedia, and then they were bad mouthing. There was another one starting with T, I think.
Travelocity.
Those two that they were bad mouthing. Then they actually came in. They wanted me to make a question on the fly about how much they dislike these two particular companies. We have something called trade-offs that we match. So we have how much you like apples, or, you know, what's your favorite fruit, apples, pears, oranges, or grapes. And then we match those up. And then we come on and say, okay, looks like you're about grapes versus pears or whatever.
Yeah.
So they wanted us to match Travelocity, the Expedia, and then Hotel.com. Hotel.com didn't do very good. So they wanted us to do on the fly Travelocity and Expedia. And the way they worded it, which one of these ones do you hate the most? And so that was something that you just don't do.
Yeah.
You just don't go in bad mouth. Well, personally,
yeah.
You just don't go in bad mouth. So after the session, I relayed my opinion to the client, and told him as long as I was doing this, I think it would be best to let's not do that. Because, you know, at the very end, you had people walking out. Well, I didn't think that was fair. You know, they bad-mouthed. And they were really bad-mouthing the people in the back.
Yeah.
Hotel.com versus it wasn't Hotel.com. It was just that person who wrote the copy didn't like what he was seeing, so he thought he could do that. So I didn't really appreciate that. But then at the same time, you can't, as a technician, and slash someone on the moderator, you just can't go in the back room and say, go back. You know, you can't do that because they'll find somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you really have to watch what you say. Two parts. And sometimes the best thing to say is let me know. Then the data says it. So once we handed them the data of the hotel.com, they revamp the whole entire advertising to those people, that beat. You know, I don't know if anybody's seen the hotel.com commercial, but it's that beat that they have now. They had something that was totally 60s up there. People that just didn't like it, and they didn't pay attention. Now, Hotel.com is changing, or not changing, but that post, which I had to do, extremely well.
Well, any final questions? We got so much else to do today. Good. Well, thanks so much, really, for
coming.
Because you guys can break.
Can we just take a break?
Ten. Yeah.
Skip the break? No?